The time of the past. For example, you have Yusuf alayhi salam's entire story being mentioned in Surah Yusuf. You have Hud alayhi salam's story. You have Ibrahim alayhi salam's story. You have Ismail alayhi salam's story. All the prophets, you have their stories being mentioned in the Quran. And it's not a tale or a novel that the Quran is mentioning one story after another story after another story. Rather, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these stories we have related to you so that we may fortify your heart. And we fortify your heart, and from this there is ibrah, there is a sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in these stories, there is a lesson for those that have intellect. Sometimes what the message is, if it's straightforward, it's very hard to understand. But when the message is a story with, you know, a person that is happening, the character, then it's very easy to understand. And there's a, you know, a very interesting story that there's a squirrel. One of the poets mentioned this, that there's a squirrel, and this squirrel is very happy and is just running around. And this squirrel, what it does is goes to the mountain. And it goes to the mountain running around, doing fun things. And the mountain, it sees the squirrel, and it says, you know, what are you doing? Why are you having so much fun? Don't you see that I'm a mountain, and you're a tiny little squirrel? So the squirrel, it says, oh, is it? So he says, let me give you another example. Even though you're a mountain and I am just a small little squirrel, see what's in my mouth is a little chestnut. And this chestnut is much more smaller than me. But I can eat it with my teeth. I can eat it with my teeth. Point being is there's nothing that a person, if they look down upon somebody and they look with the gaze of tahqir, then every single thing in our life there is going to be something that is going to be subservient, less than us. But if a person keeps their eye up that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this, then every single thing will play its place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran many, many stories. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would be revealed the Quran, one of the reasons why he would be revealed that those verses and those ayat would be to strengthen his heart. So that those incidents and those things that took place, they would actually make him think about the same exact thing is happening to him. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the people of Ad, they were very strong people, and they carved into the mountains, and they had such, you know, they had such a mindset of wurur that they thought that they had control over everything. Fir'aun, he used to say, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la." He had such power, he had such might that he used to tell the people, "I am your Lord." Musa alayhi salam, how he got scared and he left the city of Egypt and he went to Madian. So these things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was feeling. Yusuf alayhi salam, his own brothers had thrown him in the well. And similarly, his own brothers for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken him out of the city. So you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthening the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam through the stories. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in these stories, there is a lesson. Now imagine, we are reading these lessons every single day in the Quran till the Day of Judgment. Till the Day of Judgment, these lessons and these stories are a lesson for us. That we can actually take from what happened, those incidents that took place, and we can learn a lesson. One of those lessons, and in Surah Baqarah there is a lot of lessons. There's a lot of reaccount of what actually happened with the Bani Israel, the favors of Bani Israel, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. But out of their stubbornness, their animosity, they did not follow their prophet. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings one story, and this is near the end of the second juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us a lesson about something that we can apply to our daily life. When we look at our, no, not just this year, but look at our life in a general sense. What is it that stops us from being? What is it that bars us and prevents us from getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if you look at it, a person, they're very used to their comfort. What we call the comfort zone. They're very used to their comfort, their way of life, the luxury of their life. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "Irshaw shinu fa inna ni'mat la tadum." He said, get used to hardship because bounties and ni'mat is not going to last forever. What does that teach us? That every single stage in our life is not going to be something of comfort, happiness, just ease. You get so used to the ease that we expect it even in our deen. You want the easy way out. You want what is easier. Don't tell the person that, no, you have to do something that is hard upon them. No, do something that is easier. So we get so used to the ease, the luxury, the comfort zone, that we don't want to do anything else but that ease. And this is the lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. One of the muhaddithun, Imam Bayhaqi, he brings a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, إِيَّاكَ وَتَنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُ بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. He said, be aware and be careful of enjoying luxury and enjoying ease. Because the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't enjoy ease and they don't enjoy luxury. Their minds and their hearts are always attached to the akhirah. What will be happening? What is going to be their outcome? So this is two qualities mentioned in this one incident that we're going to speak about. The first is how the quality of the believers is they had simplicity in their life. إِنَّ الْبَزَازَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, simplicity and having a very simple way of life is part of iman. And you see nowadays, there is so much attraction from culture, and there's so much attraction from, you know, other things, social media, that a person leaves the simple way of life. When a person can simply get married, have the nikah, what do? They throw a, you know, $100,000 wedding. Why? Because that's going to be what people are going to say for the next 10 years. The simplicity in the sunnah is something that is perfection. It's of perfection. That every single aspect that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, anything, look at how he ate. He ate with his hands. He ate from a dasahan, a table spread. He ate what he could find. And you look at the opposite of simplicity. People, they have, you know, fancy utensils. They think it's outlandish and backwards to eat with your hands. Whereas this is the perfection of the sunnah. This is the perfection. And they think that you sit on the ground, you're some faqir, you're some miskeen insan. That you're sitting on the ground, eating on the floor. This is perfection. Our mindset needs to change that the perfection is in the sunnah. The best way that we can worship Allah is in the sunnah. Even if we have the option, a person should try their best. Sit exactly the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat. Eat exactly how he ate. Sleep exactly how he slept. Walk exactly how he walked. Smile exactly how he smiled. This is perfection of an insan. Not that you see somebody, you know, in the recent few months, people have been talking about Andrew Tate. And all they're saying is, man, he said this, and he said this, and he said this, and he said this. Is that perfection? Or is it sunnah perfection? That's just one influencer. The perfection is in the sunnah. The way of life that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this story, he highlights the simplicity of an insan and the simplicity of a mu'min. And he warns us of having a lifestyle of tanakum and a luxury, where a person is so used to having ease, comfort, that it's hard for them to follow deen. It becomes hard for them to sacrifice. And this deen has been based upon sacrifice. Imagine if shaitan, he couldn't give that sacrifice of sajda. He couldn't give the sacrifice of bowing to Adam alayhi salam. Imagine from the beginning, when Shaitan couldn't even give a sacrifice, then till the ends of time, this is the way. If a person cannot give sacrifice for deen, then they will not get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the last portion of the surah that there was a prophet in the time of after Musa alayhi salam, and there's some opinions that if it was his his nephew or Shamu'un, another prophet. So whatever the reason may be, there was a prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had ordered this prophet to be a warner for the Bani Israel. And the Bani Israel had come to a stage where they became very lax. They became very comfortable where they are. And such that even when they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would actually do it according to whatever they wanted. So they would change their ahkam. If they didn't like doing a certain thing, they would just wipe it off. And they would change it and say that we'll do this. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a promise to protect the Quran. That this Quran is going to be protected by any sort of tahreem, any sort of changes. So these individuals, they would actually get angry. And when Shabu'un radiallahu ta'ala, he started calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they put him in the prison. And they put him in the prison, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a punishment, He assigned a oppressive king upon them. And his name was Jalut. And these individuals, Jalut and his people, they were people of huge status. They were very tall. And they were very strong. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered such that they would actually come and take them, exile them out of their homes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this, that there is a way of disgrace that is nothing worse than a person being kicked out of their own home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions this, that وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent Shamu'un, and He put Jalut upon those people who oppressed them, He killed them, and He took them out of their homes. Finally they repented. And they went back. So they went back to Shamu'un alayhi salam, and they said, now, we have no choice. What should we do? They said, unite the people. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Nabi, He doesn't say the name. Their prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, look at why they became such in the way they were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed their Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a leader for them in the form of Talut. Talut was another man. So after asking their prophet for a leader, finally they're given a leader. And his name is Talut. Comes from Tawala. He was very tall. They said that the heads of insan were by his waist. So he's very tall and he's very strong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, He also sent a verification of his nubuwwah. And that was the tabut. This was a tabut that was what was passed down by Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. And it had the remembrance of all the prophets, and it was something that they would take barakah from. And how would they take barakah? This is what happens when people leave deen. This is what happens when people leave deen. All the rites and the ibadah of deen become secondary. And what happens is every single thing just becomes something of tabarruk. And we're not denying the tabarruk of the Quran or the tabarruk of anything. But is the Quran just for tabarruk, that somebody dies, we start opening the Quran and we start looking through the Quran? Or if something happens, something bad happens, we open the Quran? Or is the Quran supposed to be something of guidance, that we look at it, what lessons is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a proof for this prophet. And that proof was the fact that the chest that had the heirs and the artifacts of Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, it was brought to him by Malaika. تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. mentioned last week, the malaika carried it on their backs and brought it down, and people could see it. SubhanAllah, that's amazing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much proof is He giving that this person is a valid imam and a valid nabi? So then what happened? Bani Israel's one khasiyat and characteristic was they're always stubborn. They were always just stubborn. Even though the truth was in front of them, even if the evidences were in front of them, they would always be stubborn. So they said, no. How can Prophet be our king? And they said that, how is it possible that Talut is going to be our king? وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعْثَ لَهُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُمْ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they started arguing. They started having stubbornness. They said, how is he going to be our king? How is that man going to be our king? He doesn't have any money, nor is he from our family. وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ. We're more rightful that we should be kings. So they asked for the king. They're trying to get out of a hard spot. They ask for the king. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a king, they said, no. We can't give that. We can't accept this person. وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. He doesn't even have any wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the jawab He gives. This is a lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't need reasons, or He doesn't need to explain why He does what He does. He is all wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَصَرًا فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had given him such strategic mind, just as a general and a leader needs. And He had given him a very strong body. وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives to whom He wishes, and He is the one that knows everything. So all the people then finally accepted Talut. Now what happened is their leader, Talut, he said, now we're going to be tested. And this is the test. That whenever a person has any sort of laziness or lacks luxury of the life, they will be tested. And these individuals, what happened? The outcome is the actual lesson for us. What happened with them? Those that obeyed and they were those that didn't obey. So he said, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. He said, طَالُوتُ, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you with a river. There's going to be a river. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنُهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks from this river, he's not going to be from us. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِي. Except the one that comes and he just takes about a handful to drink. Now this is a test because they're walking in the heat. They're coming and they're fighting and they're going to battle. And finally they come to a river. When they see this river, it's going to be a big test. There were those, they say about 3,000. There were a group of 3,000 that were there. And from those, about 80,000 and 313 were the ones that only took one handful. Every single one of them, they started taking much more water. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the outcome He did. See, the thing is when they became used to their luxury, they became used to having an easy way of life. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with two things. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا, those that strive in our paths, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will most definitely guide them. Allah tests us with sabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with taqwa. And also our fast also develops taqwa and sabr. Our fast, it makes us have more sabr. It makes us, the purpose of fasting is to gain taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tested them. And all of them drank except a handful, about 313 of them. And finally, when it was time to now go and face them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. They said that when they faced the enemies, when they faced the army, they saw these tall people.
defining them. The group that drank, the group that disobeyed their prophet, the group that was used to too much luxury and couldn't sacrifice for the sake of Allah, look what happened. They said, La taqata lana al-yawm. There is no might, there is no power today. Bijalut wa junudi. With Jalut and his army, we can't win. We can't face them. It's mentioned in the books of Tafsir that they had such a lifestyle that they couldn't sacrifice anymore for the sake of Allah. And what happens with us is the same thing. That you get so used to having ease, so used to having comfort, that when it's time for Fajr, it's time to read Quran, it's time to sacrifice, it's very hard. A person can't do it. So this is exactly what happened. And then look at the other reply. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ. The ones that knew that they were going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what they said. كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةٌ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many groups are there that are few? They overpower large numbers of individuals. They overpower them. Why? Because it's not the numbers, it's the iman. You look at the Battle of Badr, 313 again, overpowering an entire army. And when the Muslims on the Battle of Hunayn, when they looked at their numbers, yeah, we have such a nice أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. When their numbers increased and they loved the fact that there were so many people and we're going to win because we have so many people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them defeat. The numbers don't matter. This is why we have to keep our eyes at what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. And now when it came time to fight, Jalut and his army, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They defeated them by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. And Dawood al-Islam, he killed Jalut. This is where Dawood al-Islam, he was young. He killed Jalut. Again, the point being is, these were those individuals that had given that sacrifice. They lived a life of simplicity. They lived a life of following their prophet and sacrificing. When these two things come out of our lives, simplicity and sacrifice, then we're going to be from those that were in the warning in the same hadith that inna ibadullahi laysa bil muta'imin. The slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not those that are in luxury. I'll end off with one statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's actually an incident that there was good food coming and he was eating. And when he was eating, he started weeping. He started crying. And they asked him, you know, why are you crying? What's happening? And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't want Allah to give me everything of khair and everything of good here in this dunya. I don't want all the bounties in this dunya. I don't want all the gifts and bounties in this dunya, and in the hereafter I have nothing. And he started weeping just because he had good food. How many of us can say that we have good food every single day? We have so many ni'mat, so many bounties. But the main thing is, those things should not go in our hearts. When comfort comes in the heart, the sacrifice goes away. And when sacrifice goes away, there is no more deen. Deen requires that we have to have sacrifice. Deen requires that we have to give up our free will, our wants and our desires for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. We make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to bring these lessons into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to make our willpower and give us the courage to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to use the best in this month of Ramadan and changes our lives in the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.